Welcome to the Generation Podcast, an audio resource dedicated to a generation of young people who are committed to total surrender to God and total dependence on His power to reach the world with the gospel of Christ. This podcast is designed to strengthen and encourage through a series of Bible-based practical talks. From the highway speed limit to your family curfew, school dress code, to having your devotions every morning, what is your motivation for doing what's right? In today's podcast, we are joined by a graduate of Baptist College of Ministry who will explain why some of our most valiant intentions will often end in discouragement.
Welcome to the Generation Podcast. I'm Bobby Bosler, and I'm sitting here right now with a good friend of mine, Caleb Reed. Caleb traveled with the Minutemen Evangelistic Team under my leadership with the war back in 2013. We had an amazing semester, and now he is the dorm supervisor at Baptist College of Ministry, finishing up his master's degree right now. And, you know, I've kind of been thinking about getting Caleb on the podcast for a while, and we talked a little bit a few days ago, and I think the Lord has a burden on his heart. So, Caleb, what have you got for us?
Well, good to be here with you. A few weeks ago, well, actually the very beginning of the semester, back in September, I was sitting in a chapel service, and Dr. Jim made a comment in passing during his message that Galatians is the book of the theology of revival, and James is the practical outworkings of revival. And I believe the Lord has called me to a revival preaching ministry, more evangelist ministry. And so after he said that, I figured, well, I better get to know Galatians. If I am going to preach for revival, I better understand how it works. And so back in September, I began, just in my own personal devotions, began doing a book study of Galatians the best I knew how, and just working through the entire book, trying to understand Paul's arguments, trying to understand what really is the essence that makes this book the theology of revival. And as I begin to understand this book, I'm realizing this is the epic showdown between law versus spirit, between Jesus versus my flesh. And Paul, as he is writing the beginning of the book, he's challenging a group of believers who he has had an influence in, but it's not your normal introduction. Paul starts out the book by saying, "Hey guys, it's me, Paul, you know, the one that was talking to you. What are you thinking? What has happened to you? You know the truth. Why have you so quickly turned to a flesh-dependent gospel?" And of course, that could take Dr. Jim's preached a whole message on that, and I'm not going to be sharing that part. But then Paul just begins to explain the fact that the gospel is all about Jesus Christ by grace, and it's nothing of the works of the flesh. And as he moves into chapter 3, he begins talking about the law and the fact that back in the Old Testament days, the law is what the Old Testament saints had to live by in order to please God. And what was happening is these Judaizers, these people who were truly believers, were now mixing faith in Jesus alone and also trying to please Jesus by doing, fulfilling the law. And this is what Paul is so adamant about. He's saying, this is wrong. And why is it wrong? Well, let me ask you this question. Have you ever thought to yourself, what is it that I have to do in order to walk with God? Or you maybe thought, what is it that I have to do in order for my parents to be happy with me? Or what is it I have to do in order to get God's hand on my life? Have you ever thought that? I've been there. I've been there before. You look at men that you so greatly appreciate, men that you recognize God is using, and you say, what is it that those guys have that I don't have? What is it that they did that I am not doing that I need to do? And so if that becomes our mentality, we actually start turning this into living by the law. In our mind, we think, what is it that I have to do? So we say, okay, well, what's that preacher do? Well, he reads his Bible every day, and maybe he spends his hour every day. And that's one of the things that's emphasized here recently, that we want to be spending an hour in prayer. Or maybe you look at the school you're at. I know we're here at Baptist College Ministry. We've got a handbook. And so sometimes you think, boy, if I just learned how to just follow the handbook all the time, then I would somehow be in whatever it is that these guys have. I'd be able to serve Jesus, and I'd be able to follow Jesus, and revival would hit me if I could just figure out what to do. That's the law. And in Galatians chapter 3, Paul is giving a stark contrast. And he starts in 23. We're just going to look at three verses. And he says this, "But before faith came," speaking of Jesus Christ, "before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster." 26, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ." You look at that, and I've heard this verse, and I've thought, what does that mean? The law is our schoolmaster. Of course, we understand in New Testament theology, you realize, okay, now that we're in the New Testament, we're no longer under the law of the Old Testament. And in my mind growing up, I'm thinking, all right, so that means I can eat bacon if I want to, and I don't have to any longer live under those the dietary laws, or if I was disrespectful to my parents, it doesn't mean I'm going to get stoned today. You know, I'm not under that law. But in my mind, I thought, well, the Ten Commandments is law, and somehow I'm under that. So how does this work that now I'm saved by faith? That means I reject everything that was in the Old Testament. I mean, so why do I read the Old Testament? What does it do for me? Why do I even read through the book of Deuteronomy and Genesis? And why do I read through these? And how can I preach if all of the law, the Old Testament, is put away? Okay, here's what we have here. In verse 23, Paul is saying this: before Jesus Christ came, salvation by faith came, you lived under a law, and that's all you had. The only way that you could live as an Old Testament saint and bring glory to Jesus, or bring glory to God, was by living under that law. In 24, it says this: "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster." So what does that mean? Well, in the Old Testament, and even today sometimes you'll find this in different countries, you'll have a king or a governor of some kind, someone who is a high official, and he has a son, and he wants to raise his son to be an effective leader. He wants his son to follow in his footsteps. Now, this man chooses to take, whether it be a trusted slave, trusted servant, or even he would hire someone that he trusts, that understands his heart, to be the trainer, the schoolmaster, the tutor of that young boy. So now we've got, a 4 or 5-year-old boy that this trusted schoolmaster has been put in charge of. And this trusted schoolmaster, who has the heart of the father, who has the heart of the king or the governor, is now going to help raise and tutor this young boy. Now, in this process, the boy is not going to enjoy anything of what the schoolmaster is leading to do. Okay, the schoolmaster's got him by the hand. He says, no, I don't want you to go over there. It's dangerous over there. There's a cliff, okay? But the boy wants to go over there. Well, it looks interesting. And so the schoolmaster takes him by his hand. He says, no, you can't go over there. Well, the young boy wants to go play with some friends that the schoolmaster knows this is not going to be good for him. So he holds him back. No, you can't go over there. But the boy wants to go over there, and he fights against the schoolmaster. Kind of sounds like raising children, right, Brother Bosler? So the schoolmaster knows what is best. Catch this. The schoolmaster knows what is best for the young boy, but the boy doesn't want it because the boy does not understand the heart of the father yet. So the schoolmaster has to, by his very job, his very purpose, rein in and put boundaries around the young boy. Now, to that young boy, that feels like bondage because he can't go do all the things that his evil heart wants to do. Now, at some point in that young boy's life, he's got to choose. Am I going to keep resisting the schoolmaster, the law, or am I going to get the heart of my father? And here's what Paul is writing. He says, the law was our schoolmaster. It held us in. It bound us in and bringing us to Christ that we might be justified by faith, understanding, okay, what I have to do is I have to turn from depending in the law to now depending in Christ. Verse 25, but after faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. Oh, this is wonderful. When Jesus Christ comes on the scene, we get the heart of Jesus Christ and we are no longer under the bondage of the schoolmaster. You see, when the young boy finally comes to maturity, that point of maturity means he has gained the heart of his father. And he says, Father, whatever you want for me, what your vision is, what your life is, that's what I want for me. Mm-hmm. Now, what happens to the schoolmaster? Is he done? The training that this boy received for the last 10 or 12 years, is it now useless and to no avail? No. Now the boy embraces the law of the schoolmaster, but he does not embrace it because he feels like he has to. He embraces it because he wants to. You see, the issue is the law is never going to be, is never going to enable me. The law never fulfills or gives me the power to live right. Only the Spirit does. But it doesn't mean I reject everything I was raised to understand. It's like this, young people, you might have grown up under your parents' roof where your parents had rules, okay? Your parents might have told you, I want you. You're not allowed to do a sleepover with this family's house at this family's house because, you know, the influences there might not be good. Your parents might have told you, I don't want you to watch that movie. It's just, it's not clean. It's not right. And you, maybe as a young person, you didn't understand that. And so you pushed against it. Why can't I go over to his house? Why can't we watch that movie? And your parents, though you might not have understood it, had to stand their ground and say, you can't. You felt like you were in bondage. The key to maturity comes when the young man recognizes, I want all that my parents have for me. I want it all. So now you don't have a problem with not watching the movie. You recognize this movie isn't good for me. It's not clean. You are still obeying the law, but you are not doing it out of motivation for the law. You're doing it because you're motivated by her love for your parents. I got my parents' heart. I want to love my parents. I want to do what they said. And now it's realizing it's coming from inside of me. And that's why later in the chapter, in the beginning of chapter 4, it says this, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, okay, this young person who's been under the schoolmaster, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all. It does not matter the heritage he has. As long as he thinks as a child, under the law, with the schoolmaster, it does not matter who he is because he needs to be trained. But he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so, we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the element of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that we were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Here it is, verse 6. And because ye are sons, you've gotten the heart of the Father, God hath sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Here what we have is now that we have received Jesus Christ, everything inside of us is crying out, God, I want to obey you. God, I want what you have for me. God, Holy Spirit, show me how you want me to live. It doesn't matter what my parents want or what the school wants or my academy. Those aren't the things that motivate me. Those are the law. I want what you have. And young person, as you come to say, Jesus Christ, I want all that you have for me. Your school, your parents, the rules that you were under as you were growing up, are no longer opposing or putting you in bondage. They are actually the things that now you want, not because you're looking to please man, but because you want to please Jesus Christ. He has given you the parents he has given you for a reason, and you have been raised the way you've been raised for a reason. He's put you in the school you're in for a reason, and he's raised you in that school for a reason, or under your Sunday school teacher, or under your school teacher, or under the boss that you have, saved or unsaved. He's done it for a reason, because he wants to bring all of those things to bring you to an understanding of, Jesus, I want everything you have, and if they've got something that I need to learn, I want it too. The motivation is not by the law. It's by Jesus Christ. Jesus, I want to follow you. But it does not mean we reject the law. It just means now that's not our motivation, though we will still fulfill it. Mm-hmm. I hope this is making sense. Sometimes this can be confusing, but I want you to, just, if you can get nothing else, get this. Jesus Christ is the answer. You look at that person, to bring this full circle, you look at that person, you say, how is it that they have the hand of God on their life and I don't? Oh, I must do. No, it's not about I must do. It's about meet with Jesus. It's not about I have to read my Bible every day. I have to do my hour every day. If that's my motivation, I'm missing it because I'm thinking, what do I have to do? Yeah. It's who can I please? Who can I meet with? When I get the heart of Jesus, all those other things become what I desire to do, not what I have to do. And when I meet with Jesus, that's when the tables turn. That's when everything changes. When I meet with Jesus, that's when revival comes. Mm-hmm. It's not by the law. It's by Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's good. That's really good. You know, if you're fixated on the rules, you're missing it. Mm-hmm. But if you're fixated on Jesus and wanting his heart and his will and his strength, that's the key. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Caleb, so much. And thank you, young people, for listening. Remember, the generation is a generation of young people who are committed, just like we're talking about here today, to total surrender to God and total dependence on his power to accomplish his will. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Generation Podcast. For more faith-inspiring resources and information about joining The Generation, please visit thegeneration.org. That's T-H-E-E generation.org.